But let's quickly focus now on that big story. And would you believe it, but a minor is responsible for at least three of the bomb threats, the hoax calls which have been made, which have disrupted Indian aviation. There is a sense that people unrelated or who you would not have thought about as being responsible for something like which seemed to be a terrorist, a major terrorist issue, may be responsible for what has happened. Was this youngster, this child who I believe is only 17 odd years of age, responsible for more of these hoax calls which took place? My colleague Radhika has been tracking the story. She sent us this report.
The Mumbai police officials have registered three FIRs in connection to hoax bomb threats to airlines case. In connection to the first FIR that was filed on 14th of October, the police have taken a minor, a 17-year-old boy, into custody in connection to a spree of threats received by airlines. On that day, the minor accused had made hoax tweets about bombs in four flights, out of which three were international flights, Indigo Mumbai to Jeddah, Indigo Mumbai to Muscat, and Air India Mumbai to New York. Due to these threats, two flights were delayed, one flight cancelled. In fact, the threat message, the police say, were posted from Chhattisgarh, from a village in Chhattisgarh where the minor belonged. Police also, I said, the minor accused had created this Twitter handle in someone else's name, and he wanted to frame this person as the two were in a dispute over money. Certainly mischief by a minor leading to countrywide disruptions in flight operations, which is certainly very concerning. An adult related to the accused minor is also being questioned at this point. Two more FIRs have been registered in addition, and investigations are going on to find whether the same boy is involved in the other cases registered by Mumbai police as well, including the ones registered in Delhi. So certainly worrying concerning a 17-year-old minor being taken into custody in connection to this case, to the hoax bomb threats case, to tweets to airlines. In fact, the police at this point trying to understand whether he is the one who had made calls on the other days as well. So investigations are underway on that front.
But what is the real impact on the Indian aviation sector been? I have this report. A real crisis in Indian aviation. 14 flights have faced bomb threats in less than 48 hours. Many have been forced to divert. The government is taking the threats which have come from unverified social media handles seriously. For thousands of impacted passengers, these have been anxious times. For the airlines, mass diversions as a result of hoax calls are financially ruinous. Today, four more flights faced bomb threats. Indigo flight 6651, a late-night flight from Mumbai to Delhi, was diverted to Ahmedabad. And again this afternoon, another flight, Akasa QP1335, a flight from Delhi to Bengaluru, which had to return to Delhi. Earlier on in the day, 211 passengers on an Air India flight, which landed in a tiny, desolate Arctic town in northeast Canada, were evacuated by the Royal Canadian Air Force and sent to their original destination, Chicago in the US. In a statement, the Canadian minister said 211 passengers are stranded and the airline, Air India, hasn't found a solution. Despite great efforts, the city of Iqaluit is not equipped to house these passengers. There have been multiple meetings in Delhi today. The Bureau of Civil Aviation Security is trying to crack down on the fake messages. Sources tell NDTV that some culprits have been identified and the dark web is being monitored. A parliamentary panel that met today has also raised concerns. For now, there's almost no news on the progress of the investigations, though it's clear that according to Indian law, the perpetrators can be put away for life. The Suppression of Lawful Acts Against Safety of Civil Aviation Act 1982 says, whoever communicates such information which he knows to be false so as to endanger the safety of an aircraft in flight shall be punished with imprisonment for life. The hoax call crisis is also a nightmare for airlines. Delayed or cancelled flights have a knock-on effect. Flight schedules are impacted, aircraft availability reduced, and airlines sustain a huge financial hit. With Aishwarya, Vishnu Shom for NDTV.
Well, joining us now, one of the passengers on board AI-127, that was the flight which was diverted to the northeast part of Canada, a very, very remote part of Canada. She's now in Chicago, got there as a result of the help of the Royal Canadian Air Force, Stuti Mahajan Kapoor. I'm also joined by Sanjay Lazar, who's an aviation expert, also Captain Amit Singh. Stuti, you know, just the thought that a teenager, a 17-year-old, is likely to have been responsible for many of these hoaxes. I mean, how your first thoughts when you hear or come across that news?
It actually makes me really mad because we were really put through a lot. I would say we were stuck there for almost 15 hours plus. We had no communication from anybody, and we didn't know where we were going to stay the night. So it's really disturbing.
What were the conditions over there?
It was more of, I think, miscommunication. Or not even miscommunication. I believe, like, we did not have any information whatsoever. There was no one from the crew member present from Air India. And the local staff were doing their best to keep us comfortable, and they did a really good job. But we did not know, you know, what we were going to do. In fact, everyone was really patient until, I think, like 5 p.m. And then it was when we heard that we might have to sleep on the floor and they'll be giving us blankets. That's when, you know, we all started getting very concerned.
And when did you find out that the Royal Canadian Air Force was going to sort of fly you out? And what was that like?
I think it was a big relief. And that also we got to know around 6 p.m., you know, the Canadian time, that they are coming. They were on their way to pick us up. And the flight would land around 10 p.m.
Yeah. And that flight went off smoothly. There was no problem there. Did you get your
no
luggage
problem
back?
At all.
Were you able to
we only got
luggage?
A hand luggage back. We only got a hand luggage back, not a check-in. So we're still waiting on that.
All right. Well, all's well that ends well. And, you know, it's been a huge inconvenience for you, your people traveling with you. Thanks very much, Stuti, for being with us. Sanjay Lazar, you know, your thoughts now. At least three of those flights. Apparently, a 17-year-old who was involved in a fight with another 17-year-old over a money issue, set up a fake Twitter account and to try and implicate this friend or enemy of his. And that's what he did. It's unbelievable.
Shocking. Vishnu, thanks for having me on your show. And even whether it's three or, you know, of course, we've still got to get to the bottom of the other 13.
Yeah.
Shocking. And I think the government must pull out all stops, make an example of this young man and, you know, throw the full force of the law at him. Because you've got to have a deterrent in place. You know, for far too long, we are being looked at as soft targets. If you get, you know, 15 or 16 calls in the matter of 2 days, it's not a joke for airlines. Whether you're Akasa, Indigo, Air India Express, anybody, SpiceJet, everyone is suffering. And you don't see this happening in the US because they just throw you in jail. You don't see it in Europe. I'm sure, Vishnu, you remember the case of the young boy who was flying from Gatwick to Menorca earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he posted on Snapchat, "I'm on my way to Spain to bomb an aircraft." And you had, you know, Air Force jets force that aircraft down. The boy was charged, but let go. But his family paid 100,000 euros in damages. So it's time that India, you know, gets better pre-departure sanitization, heightened cyber surveillance of inbound lines at airports. The government, you know, has multiplicity of agencies. You have MHA, MEA, MOCA, the DGCA, CISF, BCAS. Though you have an SOP which puts the cabinet secretary in charge, you need to update yourself with times, I think. You know, our SOPs do not provide for social media. You need to bring them on board so that, you know, agencies like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Signal, Telegram are giving you information who these accounts are. And create a committee of stakeholders, experts. You know, you've got, for example, you've got Captain Amit Singh here. Put them on that and you know, let's get proper, you know, let's be up to date. I just saw the minister's tweet and his it's too little too late on day four of 4 days of mayhem across the skies. You know, you put out a letter like that, I'm sorry. You know, we've lost the game here.
Amit, you know, there is the Suppression of Unlawful Acts Against Safety of Civil Aviation Act, lots of words over there, 1982. which says whoever communicates such information which he knows to be false so as to endanger the safety of an aircraft in flight shall be punished with imprisonment for life. Now, this is obviously a minor, in some of these cases at least. But do you believe that, you know, this is a law that hasn't really been implemented as much as it should have, that a message has never been sent out?
We've never made an example out of it, even for the unruly passengers.
Yeah, exactly.
There was only one conviction about 12 years back, Indigo flight, apparently. And that person was convicted because he threatened in flight that he was planning to hijack the aircraft and try to scare the crew and all. So that person was tried and put behind bars. That was the first case. After that, I haven't seen such an example being created. So unless people see the repercussions of the acts, it's going to continue. Like Sanjay said, the boy who kind of posted on the Snapchat, he was fined $103,000 for the cost of the fighter jets, the scramble. So at least you got to pay for something, for damages to public or to property. So that needs to happen. Secondly, most importantly, like Sanjay said, the minister's tweet came out too late. Whenever there's a safety incident, the first thing we say that we have the best safety apparatus and we need to reassure the passengers. Here, nothing has come out. Why? Because in an accident incident, you have always the crew to blame. Blame the pilot. Here, who's to blame? Here, the blame would be on the government because they're responsible for security. Why couldn't they come out that we have the best security apparatus and nothing can get passed through? We have multi-layer of security apparatus and levels of security. But what it comes down to is we still are at a manual stage. We do not integrate artificial intelligence and profiling and other high-tech features into our security apparatus. So we are not able to take a realistic assessment of the threat.
No, absolutely.
So everybody wants to play safe. So follow the SOP to the T so that nobody gets blamed.
You know, I mean, if you just look at all of what happened yesterday, the Singapore Air Force deployed two fighter aircraft to accompany an Air India Express aircraft from Madurai to Singapore. That flight had taken off on time. They spent more than 1 hour, 15 minutes circling before they were cleared to land, right? The passengers, 211 of them, who had to get to a freezing place in Northeast Canada, a place which had no infrastructure to support so many passengers, to ultimately be bailed out by the Royal Canadian Air Force at a time when we have diplomatic problems with them. It is an incredible sort of collapse of the entire system. And, you know, it's just unbelievable that at least some of it was caused by a child.
That's exactly my point. You know, Vishnu, I gave one example of the boy out of Gatwick. I know of a person who casually mentioned at a check-in desk in the Midwest in the United States some years ago, you know, if you're not checking, you know, I've got a bomb to put. You know, the guy was clapped in irons and he fought for months to get out of that. You know, we do not do anything. There is no deterrent. Now, just tell me, if this same youngster was responsible for both the Air India Express and the Air India Diversion, his family should be down a couple of crores because he's diverted a 777 into the Arctic or Canadian space. He's had 200 plus passengers airlifted by the Royal Canadian Air Force. He's had two fighter jets of the Singapore Air Force escort an Air India Express Boeing 737. Imagine the mayhem. And what about the loss to the airline for the return flights? I mean, it's catastrophic. And if we don't start now, we never will. Because mind you, in my memory, I have not remembered, you know, 15 hoax calls in 2 days in my life.
No, it's crazy.
And this means that we have become soft targets, easy to tamper with.
Amit,
so there should be a system.
At the same time, you know, whenever there was a hoax call, the airlines had to act. You couldn't ignore them, right?
No, you can't. You cannot ignore. I mean, the pilot in command follows an SOP, yeah. And he knows the most important thing for him is to save his passengers.
Sanjay, half a sec. So, you want to come in on that, Amit?
Yeah.
Yeah. The operator and the crew, they have no option but to take every threat seriously and implement the protocol, follow the SOP to the T, land as soon as possible, get the passengers out, disembark or evacuate, and isolate the aircraft. But it is for the intelligence agencies and the bomb assessment committees, which are there at every airport, to determine the seriousness. So in a process of risk assessment, like in the US, they have a training course for risk assessment decision maker. So person who's taking the decision undergoes a course, and there is a proper training. So here, I doubt if anybody's at the higher level gets trained on these procedures, because risk assessment is very specific. You have to analyze the threat text, the voice, the expression, so that you get a feel of what's going to happen. Is it a low-level threat or it is a repetitive person calling? So that kind of pattern recognition and all that is not happening here. So everybody wants to play safe. So the bomb assessment committee, which determines the threat levels, they play safe and do not act or try to bifurcate between a low-level threat and a serious threat where there is specific information. So that is the real problem here. So if we have to act, the crew will act as per SOP. There is no doubt about that.
Sanjay, you know, in a situation like this, do you believe that more needs to be done in terms of, you know, how airlines in our system reacts? You mentioned the use of AI to perhaps have a better enabler to know whether this is fake or it's real. But in a situation like this, you know, in hindsight, what can be done differently?
Well, Vishnu, I think we need an upgrade of our SOPs to have, you know, like Amit said, that there are, you know, bomb assessment, bomb BTAC, the bomb threat assessment committees, which are at every airport. You have the central committee, which is, you know, ex officio chairman is the cabinet secretary. But we need to get, you know, up to date. We need to bring cyber security teams on board, because today most of the threats are cyber. They're either coming through VPNs or coming through digital media, social, Facebook, Twitter. You need to get these guys on board. You need to get a committee of stakeholders and experts, you know, who meet and give you suggestions. And what we need is heightened cyber surveillance, you know, whether it's inbound calls or, you know, messages that are coming or mails. I see this as a very key element, because our rules are a little out of date in that sense. I'm not saying, you know, we have to follow the SOP. We have to follow the institutional measures of, you know, landing an aircraft, diverting it, sanitizing, you know, doing a bomb check, isolating, doing everything. But, you know, let's get IT enabled. We're not doing that enough. And, you know, we're still having meetings on the third and fourth day after, you know, the horse is bolted. It's really, you know, aviation safety is not a social media game. Aviation safety is real. And you know, Captain Amit will tell you about it. You know, emergencies happen in the split second. The pilot or the crew do not have a second moment's chance to think about it. Let's not take this so lightly. It's not about, you know, I posted and got 10 likes or 100 likes. Let's look at this very, very, you know, objectively, and let's create a proper system in the country. We don't have that. We're going to become the third largest, you know, aviation market in the world. And you know, imagine when we have 300 airports with, you know, 3,000 aircraft flying in the sky. How do you handle this?
All right. Sanjay and Captain Amit Singh, thanks very much for joining us. I'm just going to read out a statement from the Civil Aviation Minister, Mr. Naidu, who says that Mumbai police have arrested a minor responsible for issuing bomb threats targeting three flights. That's what we've been talking about. All others responsible for the disruptions will be identified and duly prosecuted. So this is perhaps an example of why, or one of the reasons why, in the name of law and order, access to social media, which is such a controversial issue in this country, needs to be looked at very, very carefully.